Blog Talk Radio.
In the Old Testament, Canaan land was where the Israelites were headed to after they were in slavery for 400 years. They were headed to the promised land, the Canaan land. This is a few moments of old Negro spiritual Canaan land from the 1960 film Elmer Gantry, Burt Lancaster walking into a black church in the 1920s. And this is such a wonderful song, Canaan Land. Take a listen for a few seconds. To Canaan land, making a film about the difference between the false and the true. And we have some guests that will be back joining us in about 20 seconds. Dancer, choreographer, who will be helping to choreograph some dance in our film Canaan land, Stephanie Solomon, who kicked off this campaign at GoFundMe. We have a campaign you can visit, GoFundMe.com/Canaanland, and we're raising money to make the film. And Stephanie was the first person to catalyze that campaign and get it going. And also the hula hoop queen, former chaplain at LA County Jail, Josie Pollock, will be joining us. And we'll be back in 20 seconds with Josie and Stephanie to talk about what is healthy faith that heals versus toxic faith that hurts people. Back in 20 seconds with our guest on Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome to two of the greatest girls of all time, Stephanie Sullivan and Josie Pollock. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Yeah, very good to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. You both have such interesting backgrounds. Stephanie, you've been involved in dance for most of your life, haven't you?
Uh-huh. Yes, I was a dance major in college and went to New York as a modern dancer.
We're so grateful that you're going to be able to help us with some choreography in the film Canaan Land.
Yeah, I have some good ideas already about what I want to, the style and everything that I want to do.
And Josie, speaking of movement of the body, you were on the cover of magazines for shaking your hips with that hula hoop.
Yes. In my early days, Richard.
And I hear your dog, Coco, is glad to be on the show with us, too.
Yes, Coco wants to join in.
Well, you worked as a chaplain in L.A. County Jail. There's a beautiful film for you listeners to watch. It's a documentary on Josie's ministry in the jail. I believe it's called On Faith Alone, the Josie Pollock story. Is that?
Yes, that's it.
And you can watch it for free, those of you listening on YouTube. I think it's on YouTube, On Faith Alone, Josie Pollock's story. Beautiful film.
And it's only 6 minutes long.
Yeah, it's a short film and very well done short film. And it was at some of the film festivals, Echo Park Film Festival. I want to ask both of you this, but the theme of our film is Elmer Gantry-ish evangelist who's a con man, falls in love. It's a love story with this young female evangelist who's the real deal. So we talk about fake, miracles and toxic things that go on in the name of religion versus the true, the authentic. And how as a chaplain, Josie, and I'll ask you about this too in a moment, Stephanie, how as a chaplain would you discern, Josie, if you were to tell someone, how do you guide people to know when a ministry or when is healthy versus, you know, it's going to heal them, it's going to help them, versus a setting that's going to hurt them?
Well, that's a hard question because we're not supposed to judge. But I think if people have any discernment at all, You know, when someone asks for money for someone to be healed, I mean, that's a red flag to me. Mm. I mean, Jesus went around healing people. He didn't ask for money.
Mm.
And so if someone has the gift of healing, why does someone have to send their money in to be healed?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's a powerful point. We got into some controversy on our campaign. It's at GoFundMe.com/Canaan. We put a quote up from that I've seen on film. It's a valid quote, and it was in the LA Times of Benny Hinn. And he said, if you will come back and make the financial pledge, God will heal you. And I felt
I've rest my case.
Yes, there it is. And I think there's power in our films and our art when we take a stand. And, you know, statements such as that are so clearly wrong and manipulative, I feel I must take a stand. Although I got threatened by some of his followers. They said that God was really going to get me, smite me, you know, make me sick, kill me, all these things. And I thought, why are they reacting like this?
That's very Christian of them.
Yeah.
To start telling you those things.
Well, I wondered, why would people react like this? And then a friend of mine that was very deeply involved with this ministry of Benny Hinn said, you have to understand, Richard, this is what he has taught. And they showed me some sermons where he said anyone that came against him, God was going to shoot them with the Holy Ghost machine gun, touch not God's anointed. So when people are following someone that's telling them this, there's that element of fear that you can't stand up against the person if they make a statement that's wrong. And you had an experience like this, Stephanie.
That sounds like Scientology, what Lisa Remini is going through right now, having come out of Scientology.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I was on that show, King of Queens, at the time when she was very into Scientology and trying to get others involved in it on the set. And Kevin James, who's a Christian, a Catholic, he didn't like her, putting the Scientology in the set. And now to see how far she's come in getting out of it and her courage to really tell the truth is really something. And I know you, Stephanie, had some experiences with some groups that got kind of cult-like as well in your background.
I'll tell you what I think. If I had to answer the question that you asked Josie, how to discern whether something is real or not, and the first thing that I would say is, how much control do they want over your life? And how much control do they want over your life? When I was in college, because I wanted to be in dance, this was a very popular church around the LA area, and it was a hip hop dance group, and because I wanted to be involved in dance so much, they said, we'll let you in our hip hop group, but you have to join our church. And eventually they said, and also you need to move into the home, you know, that we provide around USC. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, this sounds great. But then they kept asking for more and more and more in control of my life until they told me not to be friends with my friend, to break up my friendship with a friend of mine because she was a Democrat and God was clearly a Republican. I thought, oh, okay, now you guys are sounding weird. And then when I didn't agree with them on a ministry trip, they told me that that there was someone in the group that was ruining the whole entire trip. We had gone to Hawaii, and that this person was filled with demons. And after the meeting, they said, Stephanie, can we meet you in a room? And they told me it was me, that I was filled with 6 demons, and because I had questioned authority, because I had questioned their authority. So therefore, I was filled with all these demons, and I said, well, if I'm filled with demons, don't you think you should pray for me? And they said, well, no, because you don't really believe you have the demons, and until you believe you have them, we can't pray for you. At that point, I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. And they were very, very controlling, telling me who I could talk to, who I couldn't talk to, and at that point, I was like, okay. I told my mom, they've kicked me out, and she said, praise the Lord. And so that was one of my first experiences with a very cult-like church. And I would say that if they try to control your life, like tell you who you should marry, or God told me you should marry Joe Blow or God has spoken to me that you should give. If you do the seed faith, I'm pretty sure, if you pay this amount of money, I'm pretty sure that God's going to heal you because that's a seed of faith. Well, to me, sorry, but that's ridiculous. And so I've kind of been around the block on with those kinds of churches. And I would say that if you think it sounds ridiculous, it probably is.
The sad thing is there's, you know, I look at the church as a hospital. I've found so many broken people in the church. And if when people are that vulnerable, you know, you were lucky, Stephanie, that you had your own mind.
I had a background in my own faith.
But people are so vulnerable that they fall into these cults because it's the only time that anyone's paid attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you didn't want to be controlled, they somehow love it. And, you know, evangelists have groupies just like rock stars do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, Richard, when you come against their idol, because that's what these evangelists become, is idol.
Yeah.
They're not looking at Jesus.
Human nature.
They're looking at the man or woman who says they're following Jesus. Mm. And so people are vulnerable.
You know, I also think, Josie, when, for example, a long time ago, I had, you know, like $60 to my name, and I was listening to the famous guy who said, I have sinned.
I know. Yeah.
Well, I had my $60, and I sent it. Oh, Jimmy Swaggart. I sent it to his ministry, and I was just like 15 years old or something. I was just, that's all the money I had, and I did it on faith because, you know, I believed what they said. But I think that God honors people who are the real deal, because even if you're in like a cult-like church or a controlling environment, those, even if the people are faking it, just faking all these healings, there'll be people that are the real deal in the congregation, and I think God does honor their faith even though they're in a wacky situation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point, because there are people who follow these TV evangelists that are con men, or they're in a mega church. Like one of the things in our film, not to give away too much of the plot, is the gantry-ish evangelist that I'll be playing does a stunt with fake gold dust and bird feathers that he cons the people into thinking this is angel feathers and the Shekinah glory.
Angel feathers.
Yeah, but the reason I found this out was there is a church that's become the Mecca, the big church now in the charismatic movement, through this trick that they pulled. And I know some of the people involved in this that told me how it was done. And people were, oh my God, this church is so anointed. There's the Shekinah gold dust, and there's the feathers, and and all that. But that being said, I know people with such sincere hearts and sincere faith that are touched even from these unhealthy churches, because they're seeking God. And it doesn't mean that everyone there is bad. There are spiritual people who somehow glean the good from the bad, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Also, people that do get healed in the healing ministries, even though, you know, we have a problem with maybe who's doing it, there are people who have actually been healed because it's God that does the healing.
In the end, yeah.
Yeah. But I've got so disillusioned with the churches right now. A friend of mine is a pastor. He has a son that is severely damaged, and he can't walk or talk, and this is a single father, and they've put up a GoFundMe to get a van and a wheelchair that they can move him around because he's getting big now. And a friend of mine has gone to the mega churches to ask for help, and the church says, oh, he doesn't come to our church, so we're not doing anything. The man is a pastor. He's got his own church, but a very small church. And the guy says to me, I went to a Jewish businessman, and I got $100, and these mega churches won't give me a penny.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad.
You know, they're like the Pharisees, just concerned about themselves, sounds like.
Yeah, in our story, one of the conflicts is going to be that the character I play, the con man evangelist, falls in love with a woman who's a female pastor who really is the sincere deal. And she confronts my character that, hey, you're bringing in all this money, kind of doing the Benny Hinn line, if you send your money, God will touch you. But what about, you know, maybe we should use this money to really help these people in the wheelchair, and maybe we should help the poor, and maybe we should help the sick and help the widows. And so we're not attacking religion, but we're trying to show that whenever there's a counterfeit, it bears evidence that there's something real. In other words, you don't have a counterfeit $3 mm-hmm. bill or $4 bill floating out in the currency because there's no real $3 bill. So there is the real, and that's what we're going to try to show in the film. I know we haven't made the film yet, but if you know, one of the questions everyone asks when you hear about a movie is, well, what's the movie about? You know, when you say, hey, you ought to see this movie, what would you, Josie or Stephanie, say that this movie's going to be about?
Well, I think what you're going to show in it, from what I understand, is how false some of these evangelists can be. But you've also showing the sincere side with the woman. And I just think that it's going to make people think about it. You know, who am I following? Am I following someone who's real? You know, are they walking the walk or just talking the talk?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think that I agree with Josie, but I also, what scripture comes to mind, and I'm not trying to be religious, but where Paul says whether Christ is preached in, I need more fish oil. Whether Christ is preached in vain or with, you know, ulterior motives, it's still Christ being preached. And I think this movie is a hopeful movie as well, because it has a very good ending. Even, you know, I just think Christ is preached, whether or not, like, I think God is no dummy. He knows who's real and who's not real, and yet the word is still getting out, and the lady was the real deal, even though the guy, you know, was a con artist. And I think that, like we were talking about, well, we were talking about Benny Hinn, I do know people who have been healed, in many people that have been healed in his services, despite him. So I think the Lord, he does his work in spite of the broken vessels that say they're preaching his word, you know. So I think it's going to be a very hopeful movie, as well as what Josie said, you know, who is it that you're following, sort of thing. So.
Well, God's word does not come back void. So as long as the word is being preached.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
God will come through. And God uses broken vessels. Look, none of us are broken. We're all broken. But we're like a mosaic. We're broken, and when it's all put together, it's beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah. And I also think it's going to be, I can see it ahead of time that it's going to be a movie about God's mercy on this guy character
mm-hmm.
of yours. You know, I think it's, it's going to be how God's merciful on him.
Yes, because he's a narcissistic man, a narcissistic preacher running this gold dust con, but he's confronted by the reality of unconditional love. He's confronted by it, and there's a redemption. The ending is redemptive, because some people think, well, if you're just showing the bad side of things, then that's not very redemptive. But there is a redemptive ending. I don't want to spoil it too much. It's interesting. I've been really digging into the book of Revelation, and a lot of this stuff went back even 2,000 years ago in the early church, where there were personality cults, and Paul talks about, some of you say, I follow Cephas, and some of you say, I follow Apollos, and it's really Christ that is the one. And then he warned them about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and the word Nicolaitan, Nikeo, means to conquer, and we get Laos, or the lady. So these people that had these personality cults where they would put themselves between God and the lady or the people and say, I am the one that is the vessel of healing. I am the one that is the prophet. I am the one that is the apostle. And
that's the other thing I have a problem with, Richard, is people that give themselves titles of apostle and prophet.
Yeah.
I have a real problem with that.
I do too. That to me is such a warning sign that and I think the reason they do it is it gives them an elevated stature, because if people then begin to say you're prophet so and so, you're apostle so and so, it's going to be much easier to manipulate those people to what you want them to do when you have those kind of stature like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real deal, I think, the people that really have spiritual gifts, it's so self-evident that people see it in them. People, you know, if a flower's coming out of the ground, you don't have to wait to name it. You don't have to name it when it's a seed under the ground. You know, if you wait till it blooms, you can clearly see, oh, that's a rose. So someone that is prophesying, you know, we had a bunch of false prophets a few weeks ago that had all these people scared, the blood moons and the end of the world. You don't hear too much about the blood moon this week because they've come and gone and the world didn't end. But, oh, my God, were people worried. Well, none of those false prophets that scare people are on the air now saying, I really am sorry, I scared you guys and I was wrong. No, they don't own up to it. But a lot of those people had the big prophet title that were scaring everybody with that stuff.
Yeah, and that's another surefire way to tell if they're real or not. You know, in the Old Testament, if you were wrong, for
they
your viewers,
you
got stoned. Just FYI, if you said something that didn't come to pass in the olden days, they stoned you. So, at least that's changed. I just wanted to say the thing I was talking about. The verse was in the book of Philippians. It was the first chapter, verse 18. And if you don't mind, can I just read the paraphrase of it? It said, only that in every way, whether by false motives or true, Christ is preached. Only that, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth. So envy, sure, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. Let us leave that to Christ, which he will make us serviceable to his glory. So what he's saying is, whether you got false motives, envy, rivalry, pretense, the Christ is still being proclaimed. So he has a lot of, bad adjectives about these people. False motive, envy, rivalry, pretense. But I guess he says Christ is still being proclaimed. And that's where you see the people who are the real deal come out of the woodwork, because they believe the words that they're saying, as opposed to, you know, they don't know the backstory. But I think that's really great. That, you know, no matter what your motive is, Christ, the word is the word. It doesn't, you know.
Change.
It doesn't change, so.
That's a good scripture. That shows that God knew these people were going to be around.
Yeah.
He knew it.
God knew the feathers and the smoke and the
You know, Stephanie, you went through something recently where, And forgive me if I get this wrong, please correct me, but where people were basically getting people to pay them like over a couple $1,000s to quote-unquote teach them to see angels and heal and raise the dead, and they were going to teach you the supernatural miracles, but for a fee of a couple $1,000s.
Yeah, almost $3,000.
$3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that circles back to what Josie said at the beginning of the show, that Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. When people are trying to charge you extravagant fees for the healing ministry, there's a problem.
They're promising you supernatural gifting if you go through the school, which I quickly realized, wait a second, just because I'm paying money to a school and just because I'm sitting here in this classroom doesn't guarantee that I'm going to have anything, you know, supernatural happen through me or to me. But
I was
actually
with Stephanie when she signed up for this, and I kept thinking, oh, no.
Josie,
oh, no.
Supernatural gift.
Don't do it.
Josie tried to stop you.
It'll be good training, but
Josie tried to stop you, Stephanie.
I know that Stephanie's whole thing was to get closer to God and be more useful in his kingdom. And I just felt so sad that she was going to get ripped off.
Oh, my heart sunk when I heard. My heart sunk when I heard about that. But, you know, Stephanie's a smart cookie. You know, she figured out. She figured out that. You know, that she, you mentioned idols, how they make idols out of people. And she figured out that, you know, she can go right to Jesus. And Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father in John 14:12. So Stephanie went right to Jesus. He's even a better school and a better trainer than the $3,000 and there was a guy though that saw angels in the class, huh, Stephanie? You were telling me about him.
Okay, so let me just. This is a little, you know, comedy relief here from my silly stupidity. But let me just tell you, I didn't have confidence that the Lord was powerful in me because I had, you know, been through a little bit of a rough time. So now I have more confidence that the Lord is with me, and I do have gifts that God has given me. But I just didn't have confidence at that time. But then I realized it was kind of like a double-edged sword. Because, you know, like how Satan plays his hand too openly sometimes. You go, ugh, you know, you blew it. You were too obvious there, Satan. But after a while, I started feeling super-duper-duper uncomfortable. And I thought, oh, you know, I'm the sinful one. I'm the bad one. Then I thought, no. What if you're right? So the topper, kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, was when this young man came up, and it was his night to preach. And he's a very talented young man and a gifted speaker. I don't know how mature he was in Christ, but he said, you know, ask me anything you want. And he was very young in age, and I know that we're not supposed to put down people very young in age, but he didn't have, like, wisdom of age. But anyway, he said, ask me. He preached, and it was entertaining. It was very entertaining. And then he said, ask me anything you want. And so a student raised her hand and said, you know, I hear you see angels. He goes, why, yes. As a matter of fact, there's one standing in the aisle right there. And every head turned. And some people that were in there were like, right here? And so people started going, ooh, ah, and started running to the spot in the aisle in between the chairs, started pawing the air. Like, oh, angel. So they go, what does it look like? And he goes, well, it's kind of sparkly to me. And I mean, he could have said anything. He could have said, well, to me it looks like black and white checkers, but see, that's how I see angels. They are, you know, technicolor. Or but everyone started pawing the air, and that's when I went, oh, okay, thank you and goodbye. I did not see the angel, and at that point I had been uncomfortable for long enough to say, okay, that was the final, that was like, you know, the nail in the coffin, so to speak. I just thought,
well,
okay,
see,
that's it.
Now, see, angels are like Coco. They like us to pet them, right?
Yes.
You've taught me something here,
and,
Stephanie.
And see if they feel like anything. And if they're sparkly, if they make your hand dewy or, I mean, I think that if an angel was to come in the room, it would be quite a magnificent thing. And I do believe angels are around us, and we can't see them. But for someone to say so just tritely, oh, yeah, there's one. And
I had an experience. I was ministering at a women's rehab, and I was sitting at a table with a bunch of girls I was counseling. They were all ex-cons or ex-prostitutes, drug addicts. And I, at the time, had a cockatiel that used to fly onto my shoulder. And suddenly I had this feeling of wings, and it was like my cockatiel was coming onto my shoulder, and I kind of looked and I saw, and I went, I think I just got visited by an angel.
Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah.
It's
true. It's true. They're around us all the time. And one time, girlfriends from church, we had gone out to dinner after church, and we were sort of standing in a little circle praying for one of the girls that was going to get married, and it was a really cold night. I know you can't imagine that in California, but it was a really cold night, and we were standing there kind of shivering, and all of a sudden, where we were standing praying, it got really warm. In fact, you could, at that point, stick your hand in the warmth and pull it out of the warmth. So I thought, okay, angel is with us right now, because it was a phenomenon. But, you know, I think it does happen, but I just thought that was a little bit ridiculous. So everyone went, it was almost like they were being the angel, but it was just a little bit too silly. I don't know.
A little over the top.
Well, yeah, pawing the air. So anyway, I don't want to.
Well, you know, in our story, they're going to have angels. They're going to talk about an experience with an angel. Both the two main characters have an experience with an angel. And thank you so much, both of you, coming on the show. And for all of you listening, and supporting the show and supporting the film, and all gifts are tax deductible, you can visit GoFundMe.com/Canaanland. And thank you for listening to Richard Rossi Live. We're out of time, but I guess I'm going to see both of you soon to celebrate Josie's birthday. And we're looking forward to that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
See you soon.
All right. Well, we'll see you both soon. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll take you out with the theme song of Canaan Land. On my way to Canaan Land.